And that's brought out in 2 Peter chapter 3 in verse 14. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, these things are going to happen over 1,000 years into the future. He says, seeing that you look for those future things, be diligent now. So what we're talking about has to have the impact on our lives today. Be diligent, so we work towards that. Be diligent to be found of him in peace. So don't let the events of today, he says, control your mental state. Don't let, you know, I have this problem and that. No, it's the future, the eternal state. In view of that, peace. Not the things today. And also, that we be found without spot. We look for new heavens and new earth wherein dwells righteousness. We are to not have any spots in our lives. When I was a child, I grew up in the West Indies, and I had to go to school with a white shirt. And my mother would always tell me, make sure you come back with the shirt clean. Well, with one problem, we used fountain pens. And one day I went to school, and I forgot to close the top of the fountain pen, and I stuck it in my pocket. And lo and behold, I had a spot. My shirt was beautiful all over except for this spot. Now the problem with the spot is that everybody gravitates right to that spot. And you try to get rid of the spot, I try to get rid of it, just made it worse. Our lives are not to be like perfect in just about everything except one area. We're to be spotless and without blame. No one is supposed to look at us and say, oh, you know what? You're almost okay, and I see this spot, and what's more, I know that the character of your life is not what it should be. So the events that we're talking about, which are going to occur way, way in the future, are to so affect us that it determines our mental state, that we are in peace, that our lives are without spot, and without blame.
If I connect that word look, how can we look 1,007 years in the future? How is that possible? Only by faith. The world can't do this. You know, the world is occupied with its little plans. You know, even the great minds of this earth are occupied with their little plans. They have their new world order in view. They have their ideas. But it's all connected with a little, what natural vision, in a sense, can grasp. But we've been given things that defy the way the world views things. We've been given faith, the gift of God. Faith can look very far. You know, Adam was clothed with coats of skin. He was also told a promise that the seed of the woman would crush the serpent's head. He had faith. He named his wife Eve because she was to be the mother of all living. He was believing what God said. He was actually believing what was far future. And it's wonderful that we've been given things, haven't we, that are far future. And yet it says in 2 Peter chapter 1, concerning the qualities that would kind of link with what you're saying, Brother Joe, in chapter 1 of 2 Peter, it refers to these qualities that should be in us, adding your faith, virtue, and so on. And then in verse 8 it says, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off. You know, even a Christian who is lacking these things, lacking the desire to see them built into their life, is a short-sighted Christian, cannot see afar off, doesn't have any vision. But one who's walking close to the Lord and desires to see these principles, these moral qualities built in their life, has a tremendous vision. And can see, what does it say? Looking unto Jesus. We're able to look unto Jesus. Where is he? He's in glory. And it also tells us that we see Jesus in Hebrews, crowned with glory and honor. Well, if we're not walking with a desire to please God, we can't see Jesus crowned with glory and honor. We probably can't hardly see above the ceiling. But by faith, if we're seeking to please God in our life, our sight is able to look by faith and see Him crowned with glory and honor. We're also able to see the day of God. We're able to see the millennial glory. We're able to see all these things. I would just encourage us to develop our spiritual eyesight. Maybe we need a little work with a spiritual optometrist, the Lord Jesus, to help us. He's a great physician to help us to cure this problem, that we might not be short-sighted, that we might have long vision. Because that's what we've been, the whole point of this conference together, is the coming of the Lord that enhances our vision as our faith lays hold on this. So may it be an encouragement to us all to be looking at Jesus.
Could I just read a few verses in 1 Corinthians? And we were back to you earlier. I've been sitting on 1 Corinthians 15. Reading from verse 45. There's a long section here, but I'm just going to try to read two verses. Verse 45, it says, "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spirit goes not first, but the natural, and afterward, the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord of heaven." Verse 48. "As was the man of dust, so also are those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also are those who are heavenly." And this is the verse 49. "And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly man." And that's a joy to reread, because you and I know, without doubt, that we have really Adam. We all know that we've got sin in our hearts and our lives at times. And we know the effects of that, the results of that. It's beautiful to see that, as equally true as that is, there's a day that we're going to be just the Lord Jesus. I think this verse really encourages us to that thought.
You know, and as we bear the image, the Lord Jesus came down here as a perfect servant. And we are supposed to follow in His footsteps. You know, He's the, as has been said, He is the true physician. Some of us have experienced it. Some of us have had 10% chance to live, and yet we're here. That's only the true physician. And yet, I remember a time when I was at work, in a new job, and I didn't want anyone, this was in my younger days, and I didn't want anyone to know that I was a Christian. But lo and behold, the Lord, the true physician, had His eye upon me. And if we walk around this world, there's unbelievers out there, and they know who we are, that we're the Lord's. And it wasn't until about 3 months after I started my job that this manager wrote an email to me. And he said, "You're a Christian, right?" I said, "Yes, I am." He said, "I could tell because I could see Christ in your life." I don't know how. I was trying to hide it for some reason. But we are written and known and read of all men. And let us be encouraged, because our parents, perhaps, have brought us up with the Bible. Our parents, perhaps, have prayed for us on bended knee, hours and hours, weeping, say, at 2 a.m., which I heard my parents do again quite a few times. Their heart's desire was for us, for their children, to grasp a hold of God's Word. No, there may be another brother that knows more than I do. Does that mean I have to drop everything and not go on for the Lord? No. I can be encouraged in that other brother, that he knows more, and I can be encouraged to listen to him and to take heed to God's word and to bind it upon my heart, and I can be encouraged that the grace of God is ever for us in all that we are, no matter what we are. It's such a privilege to go out into the highways and byways and compel the lost to come in. They see who we are. And just as the perfect servant came down and gave glory to God, shouldn't it be our desire to give glory to Him as well? Because there's coming a day, which Brother Casimir said, it's going to be. It's no ifs, ands, or buts. Just like the Lord Jesus, when He came down, He had to fulfill a purpose, and He went to the cross. So this day coming will come. There will be a heaven or a hell. And for those that are lost in their sins, Muslims, Hindus, and all the rest alike, they don't accept the Lord as their Savior. We're here this afternoon to, if I could say, and if I'm wrong, tell me, to bear the image of the heavenly. To take on what that perfect servant gave us as an example, for us to follow in His footsteps. We're not perfect, but we follow after one that is perfect. Oh, may it be our heart's desire to cleave to that which is right. For this world wants to put everything in front of us to trick us into believing in that they have the answer. They're still trying to make a human body and breathe the breath of life into it, but they cannot. And just like our brother Casimir said, he got a new car. I don't think in the new heavens and new earth there will ever be a warranty of 4 years or 10 years. I don't think, I know that there won't be. But man is trying to put a warranty on things, and it's nice because you can take it back and if the company is still around and get things fixed. But that thing will never, a warranty will never have to happen up there. It will be a new heavens and new earth. We will have new bodies changed to like His own glorious body.